I understand that you were born in the mid-1930s at the old Queen Victoria Hospital on Fullerton Road, Rose Park, and you lived in the Norwood area.
That's right, lived all my life, yeah.
You would have seen a lot of changes in that time.
Oh yes, it's quite strange. They got the trams running up the street in them days, and then they took them away, and now they want to put them back again.
You actually lived in Bueller Park.
That's right. It was a two-bedroom house, single-fronted, like a worker's man cottage. The house went right up to the front of the street. It was just a small veranda between the footpath and the house. There was seven boys, mum and dad, two-bedroom house. At one stage, we had five in one bedroom, two double bunks and one single bed. Then later on, as more children come along, Dad decided to build a room on the side. Helped us all out a bit to find a bit more room in the bedrooms.
What did you do for entertainment?
Well, we got a minimum of seven boys. So I was the oldest, and the youngest, Malcolm, I was 20 years older than him. So it was a fair gap between us brothers.
Huge difference.
Yeah. There was always plenty of kids in the street. Seemed to be big families everywhere. In them days, you could put a rubbish bin in the middle of the road and play cricket all afternoon, and not one car would come down to make you shift the rubbish bin. The old metal rubbish bins.
Yeah, that would have made a noise when the wickets fell.
Yes, probably was. All the yelling and screaming going on with it. Yeah.
Your extended family lived in the area.
Yes, my dad's brother lived at Marrickville, and my dad's other brother lived at Norwood, almost to Kentown.
You would have sat around the, did you call it wireless in your days?
That's what yeah, we wireless, called it. Yeah.
Sat around the wireless or the radio. What did you listen to?
You used to have Search for the Golden Goomering. That was a serial, Superman. That'd be on about 6 o'clock, quarter to six. So if you're playing outside, you make sure he's inside around that time to listen to your radio things. There was no TV, obviously, so you spent most of your time listening to the radio. Dad would have the cricket going when they were playing in England all hours of the night. It'd be very quiet when the cricket was on, and you listen to the news. It was the only sort of entertainment you'd get then, apart from the movies Saturday afternoon at the movie theatres. It was Odin Star and the Ozone at Marrickville. That's where you go Saturday afternoon, you get a couple of cartoons and two movies for 6 months.
What value that was. And then you'd run all the way home afterwards.
Oh, yeah, Cowboys and Indians all the way home again.
I did the same. So you're sitting around the radio or the wireless at night time listening to cricket or a play or something. The Friday night, was that takeaway night? It was in our house.
Not really. Only really fish and chip shops was probably all available. Mum and Dad quite often went to the market Friday nights, and we'd wait up for them. They'd bring home a couple of goodies, a banana or something or other. But takeaways, not really in our place.
Well, ours was only fish and chips or hamburgers. Mm-hmm. There weren't the variety in foods that we have these days. And how did you get around? Did your parents have a car in your early childhood?
In the real early days, we didn't have a car. Dad used to work on a push bike, ride everywhere. He was a fencing contractor. So he'd load all his tools up on his bike and ride all over the place doing fencing. Later on, he got a motorbike and sidecar, just a box on the side like a sidecar. And then he moved up to a 1927 Pontiac buckboard.
Ooh, I bet a lot of people nowadays would love that car.
Oh, yes, it was a very nice vehicle.
So you got around on push bike too. Did you travel far on your bike?
Oh, yes, you could ride to any of the beaches or up in the hills. Gumaraka, ride your bike. Otherwise, if you never had a bike, you just walked everywhere. Walk up to Waterfall Gully, Moriata, all those sort of places. Everybody just walked everywhere, I suppose, on bikes.
They're probably a much fitter society too.
Oh, yeah. There's no little fat ones.
And now, Bob, you went rabbiting on your push bike.
That's correct.
Where did you go?
Go to Moriata, or Waterfall Gully. Later on, we went up to Golden Grove, where all the new housing is now. But it was all paddocks and fields then, so you could go anywhere you wanted to without much trouble. And in respect of the property, you didn't misbehave, so we never got thrown off at anybody's property. Waterfall Gully and that, you had to come in the back way. You couldn't ride your bike right up to the waterfall because it was all a reserve. So you'd stop halfway down and then walk into the back, get your 20 rabbits and come home again.
20 rabbits at Waterfall Gully.
Yeah.
So you carried all of this on your back, but you also took ferrets with you.
Yeah. You'd have your ferret box on your back. You'd have 20 nets or so. It was like a string net on a wire ring. And then you'd have a ferret box on your back with two or three ferrets in it. And then when you're coming back, you'd have 10 rabbits hanging off your belt.
10 rabbits, three or four ferrets.
Yeah.
Your lunch box.
Can't really remember taking anything to eat. We didn't worry about food. Water you just drank out of the creek. Never carried a water bottle or anything like that.
Did you wear a hat?
Probably not. That's probably why I'm getting all skin cancers now.
Yeah. And what did you do with the rabbits?
Well, such a large family, we used to use quite a few. That was not our main meal, but we ate quite a few rabbits. And then you could sell them off around the neighbourhood. I think we used to get about a shilling each for them, 10 cents. Or you'd give them away to different people. You soon got rid of them. Everybody knew when you come home and feed a rabbit, somebody would be hanging out the door looking for you.
It was a staple in the Australian diet, wasn't it?
Well, they're good foods. I mean, they're probably cholesterol-free and everything. And Mum, she was a pretty good cook. She'd make a nice rabbit stew or roast rabbit. And then I can still remember all the lard you kept afterwards and just spread it on a piece of bread with a bit of salt and pepper. And that was delicious, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Before the days of sliced bread.
Yes, I think the bread tastes more like bread in them days. So.
And bakeries smelt more like bakeries. It's sort of a more intense aroma.
That's right. If you're walking past one, you can smell the bread cooking straight away.
There was industry in the area in those days.
Oh, yes. I've actually got a wood machine at home, which was made in Queen Street, Norwood.
Goodness.
I just can't think of Barron's, I think it was called. It's a combination woodwork machine. It was made in Queen Street, Norwood.
And when you eventually went to work, you also worked in a furniture place.
Yes, 30 Flinders Street, Kentown. It was HF Twinings. They made pretty good bedroom suites.
And you didn't have the electronic equipment and tools and that they have now?
Oh, no. The saws and things cut nothing like they do now. The equipment, machinery does everything nowadays. It's all computerised and just sit back and does it all for you. We did it the hard way. Big heap of shavings on the floor, covered in dust, but that's how it was done.
And one of your brothers worked for a shoe manufacturer in Norwood?
Yes, Bill worked at John Friss at Sydenham Road. He was there till it closed down. Then he moved on to R.M. Williams and retired since then. But that was quite a big place in them days.
You came from a family of seven boys. Was there much work going on?
Well, I was sort of lucky in one way. I left school on the Friday and Dad said, Uncle Ted's got a job for you. We can start tomorrow morning. So I just walked in a cabinet-making job. Most lads, as we grew up with them, they'd leave one job, you'd go around the corner, be another job waiting for you. Work was not a problem.
And perhaps that's the price we pay for being such a pampered society nowadays, with getting things so cheaply and wanting more and more. We've actually spelt the demise of Australian industry to a great extent.
Oh, that's for sure, yes. We've sort of priced ourselves out of all work now. Mm. Everything's made overseas. Well, most things are made overseas. And a lot of it's very good product, so we can't really fight against that.
When you got your driving licence, Bob, what age would you have been?
16.
What did you have to do to get your licence?
It answered 12 questions. Just sit down in the motor vehicle registration office, which was situated where the casino is now, North Terrace. I think from memory you had to get at least 10 questions right. There was a couple of questions you had to get right, but 10 would have got you through. That was it. No driving tests, no nothing. I actually drove home from the motor vehicle registration office with my new licence. Because we all learned to drive way before we were 16.
Was that it? You drove home in your dad's Pontiac Buckboard utility?
That's right.
You had a motorbike at one stage. What age did you get your motorbike?
Probably about 17 when I was working, we started earning money, so I bought a motorbike then. It was a 500cc Velocet, which you don't see many around nowadays. But that was from Borgelts on Bagool Road, a big motorbike place here. And then I bought a 1946 Chevy Utility, had that for quite a few years. A lot of fun was in that, rabbit shooting.
Sadly, Bob, we've run out of time, but thanks so much for coming in and talking about growing up in the Norwood area.
It is a pleasure, Helen.